This is one of 80,000 food deliveries to households in need. This is a family facing food insecurity, who's now able to eat together. This is Breakfast Club of Canada and Uber in action. This is one of the many drivers and delivery people helping move what matters. Visit uber.com/Canada Impact to find out how you can help too.
You're looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello and welcome everyone to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. And if you are joining me because you've joined in earlier, about an hour ago, onto the Facebook Live there, I'm so happy that you're here. And if you didn't catch it, I invite you to tune in at 11 a.m. Eastern time just before the show. But boy, oh boy, did we go deep on today's live, and we are about to go deeper right now with my guest and author, Leanne Babcock. And I just want to share a little bit about not only the topic and her, but I made this announcement on my live, and Leanne Babcock, a very brand new person into my life, has actually, I'm titling her and I'm naming her, appointing her, one of my new mentors. I just love her, you guys. So you've got to stay tuned for the whole hour because a lot of goodness, a lot of wisdom, a lot of help is actually going to show up. And in sharing about Leanne and who she is and what she does, today's show really is about fear and courage, but in a way that's really unsuspecting. It's about where your fears are hiding, like you don't even know, and the kind of courage that we all need and want to access. And it's so close and it's right there, but it's around a corner that we don't usually think about. So I'm gonna introduce you to Leanne Babcock and who she is. And she's a coach, speaker, and author. And people say that her coaching program shakes up the roots of their souls and opens their mind and heart. They say it transforms their life. She's an NLP, master practitioner, master coach in multiple brain integration techniques, and a master coach and trainer in the Babcock coaching technology. She's also trained in hypnotherapy, transactional analysis. I have to ask what that is. And, oh boy, ontological coaching. I have to ask a lot of these things. And she's worked extensively in the realm of the intuition and shamanism. She works with people in business, government, and public, and has given her a wide range of experience by doing this. Her focus has mainly been with heart-centered leaders, entrepreneurs, and creatives. And now she works extensively with women, helping them to boldly claim who they truly are and to live fulfilling and purposeful lives. Her books, which I just read, Open Me. It's a true story of a magical journey from fear to freedom and the real and wild you. And she really is wild, you guys, daring you to the magical inner journey. And it is an international bestseller, and I can absolutely see why. It's honestly, guys, like Eat, Pray, Love, times 10 on steroids and should be a movie. But Simply More, and I love her line here, she is just a courageous, wild woman who listens to the trees. So welcome, Leanne. Hello, hello.
Oh, Lisa, thank you so much. I'm so excited.
I feel like I'm interviewing a movie star because your book is like a movie. Did you mean for that book to be that fun, personal, heartbreaking, exciting?
Oh, man. Thank you. Well, it's my first book. And no, I wasn't intending that. It was just really, you know, I wanted to share my story. And my story is very personal. And so I wanted to share it in a way that you could really get it, that people could come along with me in the journey. And so that really is how the book is written. And that's a lot of the feedback I've had. And you know. And so now that I, with all the feedback and, you know, now I know it's like, oh my God, this has to be a movie. I really get it.
Yes, yes. And because the book really is about, well, today even is about fear and courage, mm-hmm. you yeah. had your own interesting, I liked how you shared what courage, how it's a little bit different. It's not different just for everybody, but how you looked at courage differently than what we most, what we usually think about. Mm-hmm. Can you share that?
Yeah. Well, you know, like I've had people say that to me, oh, Leanne, you're so courageous. You know, I really have to step back and reflect, like, am I? And, you know, because I know myself as, I mean, I'm so sensitive, and I'm paranoid, you know, like there's all this, and I share about that in the book, right? There's all this stuff that goes on in my mind and the self-doubt. And what I've realized is that, you know, it's not that I have to give myself this pep talk and it's, okay, come on, girl, you can do it, and you can do it. Like one more step. It's not that. It's actually, I'm unwilling to be stopped by my fear.
Yes.
And so then what happens is when I find something that I'm afraid of, I, without even thinking, because that's the other thing, is, you know, once if I start thinking in my head, I'm going to listen to those thoughts and I'm not going to do the thing that frightens me. So I actually don't listen to those thoughts and I get into action immediately. So if I find something that frightens me, I'm going to start to walk towards it. And it's in the movement, it's in the walking, my body's already engaged, I've already got a commitment to face it, to, you know, whether it's walking into the darkness, and usually, you know, that's where our fear is, and then I find, oh my gosh, you know, like I've done this amazing thing and that amazing thing, and honestly, I'm probably, you know, the most timid and scared person there is, and honestly, if I can do it, anybody can.
Well, that's what I thought. You just actually helped me realize why your book and what your story really shows to people is that you actually go through some of those normal things we think of, like so courageous to move here and you know, go through this kind of relationship here and travel there that way, but that actually wasn't where the courage came from. Was through all the little things, like trying to decide which road to take when the signs weren't very clear and you're in this dark area and driving on the other side of the car or the road. So I love that courage for you. You needed like micro courage to show up in the big thing that we all think we need courage for. It's the micro courage.
Well, it's all, I mean, you know, I think we think that courage has to be something big, you know, like I need to get my sword and my shield and it's got to be, you know, fighting dragons kind of thing. And actually, it's the little things that are really big, you know, it's the little things that really, you know, really can hold us back. You know, like I remember that moment you're referring to, you know, like I was in Sedona and, you know, and I had a GPS. And the GPS broke, and so there I was, and I'm not very good with directions at all. Like, I will come out of a gas station, and I'll turn back the way I was coming without having identified that. I know. It's like, how do I get anywhere, really? But I manage, you know, so I am directionally challenged. And so, you know, first of all, the GPS going, it's in the middle of the night, and it's in the country, so there are no lights anywhere, and I'm at this crossroad, and I've got these handwritten directions from somebody to tell me where to go. And honestly, like really honestly, you know, so in that moment, there was fear of where do I go? And so, I mean, someone else might have just thought, oh gosh, you know, just turn this way and find out where you're going and you'll find out, you know, but for me, that was a real, you know, like it was terror. And then I just had to breathe and, you know, okay, I'm just going to listen to my inner wisdom here, because somehow intuitively I understand what this message means and I know where to go. And in the next moment when I open my eyes, I knew exactly, you know, go straight instead of turning, and whew, couldn't have made a better decision.
That shows how fear is loud. You know, when you're in that moment, it's coming up going, I mean, mine, of course, be like, not only am I in the desert, it's dark, and who knows what's out there? What happens if I run out of gas? And what happens if And you bring up a big thing, life direction. Like, so many fears. What happens if I turn the wrong way? What happens if I go there and then this happens? What happens if I never make it? Like, and I mean in life, right? And then it's really like, where do I go? I think, is that a big fear? Do you still have that come up for you? Like, where do I go? Or is your trust so big now that doesn't really show up for you?
You mean about life purpose and about career and work and that? You know, I've known from a very young age that I'm here to work with people. And you know, and working with expanding consciousness. So there was something there that was clear to me that I knew. But how that was going to express itself, how I wanted to manifest that self, oh my gosh. You know, like, I don't know, like for the longest time. And, you know, and then I would try out one thing and I'd have a great time and, you know, it'd be really great. And then I would try out another job. And, you know, I would have fun and there'd be, you know, and then it would kind of go the distance. And then I would, you know, and then I created my business, you know, so in 1993, I thought, okay, I want to do what I really, really love and I want to make money from it. Because I realized that one of the things I would do is I would take these jobs that just gave me money. And then on the side, like volunteering, I would do the work I loved. Mm-hmm. And yes. I thought, you know, I want to bring it together. I want to do what I love and be paid for that. And so, you know, that's how I started my business. But what I've realized, Lisa, is that it's not about, you know, having the right job or the right role or, you know, to actually live your life purpose, because that's not where your life purpose is. It's not in a job. It's not even in a vision you have of yourself in the future of, okay, so if I'm, you know, living this lifestyle and I have this kind of job and I'm, you know, then I'm living my purpose. It's like, what? It's like, then we keep our purpose outside of ourselves, like something we've got to reach for or attain. And what I've realized is that our purpose is inside us all the time. Mm-hmm. It's guiding us. It's like if you imagine yourself to be an instrument, like in an orchestra, like a wind instrument, let's just say like the beautiful clarinet. Not like I can play it or I'm very good at it, but I love the sound of it. And so imagine that that purpose, that life purpose is actually the wind blowing through the instrument that gives it the sound.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
And,
oh my gosh.
And so consider that your purpose is flowing through you all the time. And, you know, whether you pay attention to it or not. And that's the thing. It's like when we make decisions that are contrary to our purpose. And we can tell that by the way they feel, you know, like when you take the job for the money, but your heart's not in it, that's counter your purpose. When you stay in the relationship longer than its expiry date, and you know that because it's familiar or whatever reason, that's counter your purpose. You know, so it's like our inner wisdom guides us, you know, with our purpose. And so, you know, really, had I not done all those jobs to get, information or experience that I needed then, I wouldn't have gone to the next one. And then I wouldn't have got to my business and gone, okay, so now, you know, everything kind of came together. So I truly believe that as long as we just pay attention to where you're guided and what feels right, because you really do know that you do take the right choices.
I love that I've never heard anybody say it like that before, but our purpose, it's not something that we do have or be. It's what guides us. Our purpose guides us. That is, that's going up on the wall there for me. I want to share that falls so perfectly with one of the paragraphs that I really fell in love with, and I've, you know, circled them. So guys, as you're listening, I'm just going to share just the odd line or paragraph that really was something to me when I was reading. And what we're talking about right now, when you guys have the book, Open Me, it's called.
Yeah.
Then you want to go to page 194, because I love this paragraph here, and it's perfectly in alignment with what we're saying, is that you write, I noticed that I no longer felt present and free inside. I was too busy thinking about how to get what I wanted. Pausing for a moment, I gazed at the rock edges of the canyon, carved by the continual flow of the river. As much as I wanted to think that I had surrendered to the flow of my life, my habit when faced with change was actually to hold on more tightly and try as much as possible to influence the outcome. And this had only led to pain. Mm-hmm. That was so big to me, because how many times, you know, and this is a silly, you know, thought, but I know I have this one girlfriend who, she's in a relationship and has just been in it forever, and she doesn't want to be in it. But as soon as they're going to break up, it's like she goes harder at trying to save it at the time that it shouldn't be saved anymore. And then as you try to force that outcome, it does lead to more pain. Like a job, like, you know, I have another friend going through this right now. She finally has left a job that's just been killing her spirit. It's, you know, but she's sad, and she's like, did I make the wrong decision? I finally left it. Now I don't know. It's painful. Do you have something to share about that right now? Because there are fears when we finally do the thing, we finally listen, to that inner wisdom, and we're so happy. And then we go, Oh no. What do I do?
Oh, I so get that, because it's like, it's so human. And, you know, yes, when I moved back to Canada, so there I was living in New Zealand. So I married a Kiwi, that's what you call people from New Zealand.
Yes.
30 years ago, I had been, you know, living there most of my life. That's where I started my business and everything. And I got to a particular point. And I didn't even know I got to a particular point, right? Our life just evolved. But I started getting these inklings that maybe I should move back to Canada. And it was just, now my husband and I separated long ago, and, you know, my life had evolved. And these nagging thoughts were annoying, because I kept thinking, I don't want to move back to Canada. Like, why would I move back to Canada? And I would have dreams about them, about now moving back. And then I had two clients actually independently come up to me and say, gee, you're still in town. I thought you'd move back to Canada. Oh. And I thought, oh, come on. you know, like when the universe is kind of, you know, tapping on your shoulder, you does it from many different avenues. And then, now this is something I haven't shared with you. Oh. And then So that's where, so firstly, I was afraid. Now, I knew that I was no longer fulfilled in the work I did. So I'd been running my business for so long, and that particular kind of work I did, you know, it was like, is this all there is? You know, and I knew there was more, but I didn't want to face that, Lisa, because it meant changing things. It meant, well, what am I going to do now? Do I start a new business? Do I, you know, And so I wanted to ignore that. And meanwhile, this little inkling is coming along. And so I then decided, okay, I'm going to go and see a healer. He was a psychic guy. Mm-hmm. And as I'm driving there, I told the universe, if I'm supposed to move back to Canada, then I want the message to come through that guy really clear. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to interpret it either. So, and I'm thinking, as I'm driving there, oh, good, this is going to put the whole thing to rest, really. And we have a wonderful healing session, and I don't tell him anything about me. And just as I'm leaving, he says, oh, one more thing. And something just made me catch my breath, right, in his voice. And he said, you're going to be moving back to Canada.
Oh, come on.
That's I awesome. Know. I just like that. Like, I am so not kidding, right?
Oh, my God.
So I drive home. I don't even remember driving home, right? And all I can think of is, I'm scared. I'm in my late 50s, right? Who wants to move to a country and start all over again? Start your business? Nobody knows me here, right? Yeah. And yeah, last thing I thought. But, you know, that's what I had, you know, I was facing, you know, this level of, you know, being unsatisfied and unfulfilled. And I knew that there was something greater for me. And, you know, sure, I could have stayed back in New Zealand, and but my purpose, it was like my inner guidance was telling me, there's something else for you, and it's in Canada.
I love that. And you know what, Leanne, I want to leave people with this for the commercials. They come back just to really highlight that fear is the inkling that something greater is out there for you. So come on back and hear some more great stuff from Leanne Babcock.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is David Strickle. I'm excited to share my brand new show, The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio. Each week, I'll have exciting guests, and I'll channel the eternal wisdom of The Stream, a group of non-physical entities whose teachings have transformed lives all over the world. So join us for an uplifting hour each Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio.
Are you considering starting your own podcast? Do you have a book or other content you'd like to share with a worldwide audience? Give your book a voice. Hello, I'm Lisa Berry, host of Light on Living here on Om Times Radio. Myself and Tomas Garza, host of Decide to Transform, help people like you produce your very own radio show. At Podcast Prosperity, we help you create your show and recirculate your content for multimedia impact. Through creation and launch, we give you the support and mentorship you need and help you create the influence, income, and impact that you desire. Contact us at lightonliving.com, Podcast Prosperity.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Oh, welcome back, you guys. Thanks so much for joining us. We're having a fun, this is going to sound weird, but we're having a fun talk about fear, but fear and courage. And I've got Leanne Babcock with me. She is the author of Open Me. And you guys, especially right now, this is a book that will really, yes, it has those little nuggets of, you know, like life coaching and stuff, but it honestly is an adventure. It's got romance. It's got career choices. It's got personal development. It's got travel. You left nothing out here, Leanne. I loved it. Just before, I'm loving talking about fear today, and this is a random share, but I woke up this morning having, I'm going to call it a nightmare, but like a scary dream. I was scared and I had fear. And I thought, well, what a perfect day to have that, because I can talk to Leanne and we'll wrap it. But really, because what came to me was, I love that we just came to that, like fear is an inkling that there is something better for you out there. And there was on page 44, I love this, what I'm grabbing a line out of here, and you make a stand and you said to yourself, I was unwilling to be that unhappy. And you go on to say, you know, like if somebody else wasn't going to do something, then I need to take control. But I think that that's part of saying, are you willing to be unhappy? Are you willing to be scared? Or when fear shows up, and it does, it really does. And there's like sometimes my fear will come up like, what if I did something wrong and it hurt somebody or they're mad at me? And like, that's an honest fear. It's my personal fear. But that fear is showing me that there's something better. I don't know what it is yet, but when our fears are so judgments, when our fears are actually judgments of ourselves, how can we access inner wisdom to help us with that?
Oh, I love that. Because oftentimes we think we have to get rid of fear. You know, we have to do something with it because it's uncomfortable. But the thing that there is to do is to welcome it in. What I have found is that when I'm afraid, it's a wounded part of myself that hasn't healed, you know? So it's a part that, I mean, yeah, I've been finding that in relationship, in, you know, like just, you know, for example, when I was on my road trip, like, 12 months across North America, and, you know, you want to bet that I was scared. And, you know, then I found out that you could sleep in Walmart parking lots overnight, you know, instead of paying all this money in a campsite. And I thought, okay, good. It's a good thought, but when you're actually doing it, there I was, the very first time in a parking lot all by myself in Walmart, and I was terrified. I'm laying in my bed. My eyes are bulging out of my head. And I thought, I'm unwilling to just be afraid here. And so I realized that the fear was a little me who was afraid. And who nobody was there for her when she was terrified. And so I brought her to mind, and this little four-year-old showed up. Like, I'm just doing this in my mind. Like, it's an inner process, right? But it's a beautiful process. And this little four-year-old in my mind, you know, I just wanted to hug her, and I wrapped my arms around her, and I said, honey, I got you. And nobody was there for you. I know, and I'm so sorry nobody was there for you. And I've got you now. You are not alone. And I just kept talking with her like that until I could feel her calm down. And I did some breathing, so I've got a really good breathing technique that I do. And did you know all of that fear disappeared, Lisa? And this love, I could feel my heart open wider and become stronger. And it was as if my camper was just filled with love. And I had the most beautiful sleep, and I woke up and felt fantastic. And I loved sleeping in Walmart parking lots after that.
Oh, my God. That's
a funny story about, you know, that. But I have done that in relationships. And, you know, like right now I'm with this beautiful, beautiful man who just loves me to bits. And, you know, like every once in a while I get really confronted by that because that's a new pattern for me. And, you know, then fear. And what I do, I just do that same thing. I close my eyes and I bring to mind that feeling of fear. And I know it's a little me, and I invite her in, and I see how old she is, and I do some work with her.
That's so interesting about, that comes to mind actually about recognizing that it's you inside, just at a different stage, and it's a different timeline dimension, but it's, it's you, she's still there. And that is so, there's two moments in your story in this book, Open Me, that you talked, one about a person and one about a plant. And I love that what you write, and I'm just going to read the one that I loved about, I don't want to spoil it for people reading it, but something comes up and you are told that in your feeling that you didn't know this, your place is home anymore. You didn't know your bed that you slept in as your home and safety zone. You didn't know your friends as your friends, but you were told that, no, it was actually that you were not recognized. You were not the same person as when you left, because each time we go and do something, have an experience, we grow and we change. And we think that it's somebody else that's not the same person, but it's really, it can be you've grown so much that
they're no longer recognizing, which could be a good thing or bad. It, you know, like, you know what I mean? It could be conducive to continuing or not. But what do you remember that moment that I'm talking about without spoiling it for people? Or can you share that, what that feeling is like when you are told that it's actually you that weren't recognized and that you are now different?
Well, that was, it was really good because at first, I got kind of scared, when things did not feel familiar, the things that had always been familiar around me did not feel familiar. And that's a scary place to be. And then, so I just, you know, closed my eyes and I did a little bit of meditating. And then the answer I got was actually, you have changed so much that you are not recognizable. And it brought a feeling of peace. It was like, oh, then nothing's wrong. This is how it is supposed to be, and that's okay.
That is so helpful. I hope everybody, can you hear that? It's sometimes we find ourselves, I remember when I left a really rough relationship and I suddenly found myself in this really kind of like old and crappy apartment. And I remember getting so angry at my faucets. And I was like, these faucets suck. I want my touchless, you know, fancy one. And I was like, I must be feeling so punished because I have to turn each tap on, you know, it was, you notice, because it wasn't I wasn't familiar with who I was. But then I realized, but wait, I'm what I do recognize in here that I haven't felt in a long time is freedom. Yeah. And that's, I think, what I got from you so much when that hit me. I was like, oh, it's I like that you said that, because familiar doesn't always mean peaceful. You can be familiar with abuse. You can be familiar with fear.
Totally. It's familiar. Familiar is seductive. It's a killer.
Yeah.
You know, like
we're comfortable. Yeah.
Exactly. That's it. And then we talk ourselves into staying there because there's fear to step away from what's comfortable and what's familiar, even if what's familiar isn't healthy.
Oh my gosh, I have goosebumps. Yes. Right now, because right now I just want so many of my friends right now know what they're going through. And I'm like, oh, they better listen to this. Well, because you don't have to share exactly your age, but I would love for you to share your kind of age, because that's something that I go, God, you are just living life to the fullest. No matter what, you're just running through life and you're still taking on everything, but you're still growing. You're still.
Yeah. Well, let me share about a time. So I'm in my late 50s now. Right. And, and so just a few years ago, I was still in New Zealand and I, where I was living, there was a river that had flooded and I fell into the river. And I had this old life jacket on, and the old life jacket had come undone just enough so that it was choking me. I couldn't get it off, and it wasn't bringing me up. I couldn't catch my breath because it was too tight around my neck. And then the current takes me down this big rapid. And so my body then is just thrown against the rocks. I know that I'm bruised everywhere. And I then go under, I'm taking in water, and I'm trying to claw at the edge of it's just mossy rock. There is nothing, like nothing to grab onto. And I'm sinking, I'm going down, you know? And I have this thought, Lisa, like, is this it? Like, is this that moment? Because I was drowning. And I remember feeling so disappointed. Like, just so disappointed, like, to the depth of my being, because, you know, there was so much in my life that I hadn't done, because I was waiting for the right circumstances. I was waiting for the right moment or the thing to happen, and I hadn't done them. Now, clearly I didn't die, right? So a friend rescued me. But I'll never forget that life doesn't wait. So why should I? And it was after that moment that, that I just kept seizing life with both hands, embracing it. It's, how do I want to live this moment? I don't know when I'm going to die, and that's the truth, because moment by moment is always unknowable. So how do I want my life to be, like, in this moment? I'm not even going to wait for the end of the day, right now. And that just kind of led me on this huge journey, this journey of my life, out of living. I think I lived so that I could live and tell the story.
Right. Yes. Well, you know what's really neat? This is so... We're talking about how we handle our own fears and our courage, and it's our journey and our purpose. But so interesting. I mean, we're not alone on this earth, and we've got to live with that. And we want to have the interactions and relationships with other people. And I'm going to read just two things that jumped out at me about that. And I so recognize myself in this. And I remember the day I started living for me, like what you had said, like if you had died in that moment, you would have been so disappointed because you didn't get to do these things. Well, one thing that holds a lot of us back, and I'm going to read this part here. We do have to go to commercial in 2 minutes, but I'm going to spit these out and then okay. Even if we have to come back. But you were talking about how, you know, one of your relationships and how you, and I will read this part. I had never asked him if he expected me to stay in bed with him in the morning. He had no idea what was going on in my head, and I was busy making assumptions about what was going on in his. And I bring that up because so many of us think that we think that somebody else wants something from us or expects something from us, and yet we haven't asked of life what we want. We haven't asked what they want, and now nobody's getting what they want.
That's right.
and with that, because I want to dive into this when we get back, is this lovely man had such a beautiful response. And I hope everybody hears this, and it's just a blanket statement, is the more you do what you want, the more you are going to love me. And I hope everybody hears that for every part of their lives. When you do what you want to do and you love to do, that's when other people can love you and you can love them more. And yeah. I know you have so much more to share about that, Leanne. So everybody, this is Leanne Babcock, and she's written Open Me. You've got to go and get this book and just enjoy reading it. Like, just curl up and read it. You could read it if it takes you 4 hours. Just sit there and read it, because it's so good. But when we come back, we are going to continue about fear and courage and how to live your life, you know, and embrace that. Embrace the fear so you can be courageous. Okay, when we come back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
It is time to celebrate self-discovery and personal growth. But you know, your efforts have to be consistent in order to stay balanced and to overcome depression and fears. So, what new books are available? How do you stay centered? Elizabeth Joyce and her guests will help you find out. That's Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out, Mondays at 6 p.m. on OM Times Radio.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Oh, thank you. thank you, Leanne, for sharing this time with me. I feel like these are such deep questions that we're able to ask you because you have this experience. And I want to highlight for all the listeners here, like literally, Leanne in her like young 50 years of life at the time, literally facing changing, moving countries, leaving a business that she's – like how many of us at 50 can imagine like not only just starting a new career or everything, but a whole new country and change of relationship. And I wanted to ask you about the fears that did come up. And for all of us, is there a way to use them that maybe we should listen to them and say, "Woof! I mean, I don't need to walk through this one. This is not one to be walked. This is one that shows up and says, no, that's not the way to go." How do we distinguish whether the fear is to be set aside and pushed through or to listen to and heed its advice?
Well, our inner guidance or inner wisdom is really the key here. And that's what I have found. So when I feel fear, because, you know, one of the things that I know is that my fear is created by my thoughts at some level, whether conscious or unconscious. So it's our thoughts. Whenever thoughts are going on in our brain, which go on all the time, they produce chemicals in the body, which give us whatever feelings that we feel. So you don't just randomly feel a feeling without having had some thought attached to it at some point. So when fear is there, I know that there's thinking happening. And the fear indicates to me that my thinking is not aligned with, what I know to be true in some way. You know, so it's like when I'm not feeling right, and you know, fear is part of that, then something isn't aligned inside. So I want to go find out what that is. And, you know, so if I go in my head, so here's the thing, you want to go in your heart rather than your head. If I go in my head regarding my fear, here's what's going to happen, is that my head is going to, first of all, my head only knows to have the same kinds of thoughts, mostly, that I've had before, well, particularly when I'm in fear. Okay, because when fear is there, then, you know, a lot of the frontal cortex is shut down, which is our, you know, more of our higher thinking functions in the brain. And so we mostly are going to repeat the same kinds of thoughts we've had before when we're in fear. And so my thoughts are going to follow most of the, you know, patterning of, so this happened in the past, and so I really, you know, I should do this, or, you know, or I catastrophize, you know, like that's one of my old habits, you know, like I'll take one little thing that happens and I catastrophize, you know, like my boyfriend, for example, you know, one of the things I did, his pants didn't fit him right, and so I catastrophized, and I had us already split up because of that. It was, our relationship wasn't going to work because of his pants.
Downward spiral.
Oh my God. You know, so, you know, our brain, our head will do that, and particularly when there's fear. Okay. So it's going to run the same patterns, the same thoughts. And, you know, if you catastrophize, that's what you're going to do, but it's unhelpful because you're not going to really get any new ideas and you're not going to get any help. It's going to be repeating the past. This is how we repeat the same patterns again and again, by the way.
Yeah.
So like, you know, make the same mistakes again. So what I do is I actually do the work to come into my heart instead. So I'll do some breathing and some even and deep breathing, and then I come into my heart, and all that brain stuff just melts away, and before you know it, I'm really present to all the love I have for this man. And don't you think I could ask him if he would let me take him jean shopping? And we could sort out the pant issue, like, you know, really. So, you know, I kind of forget the question you asked, but, you know.
It's perfect. It's how to use fear. Okay. Yeah, you're answering it perfectly, by the way.
Okay. All right, good. So, yeah, and it actually reminds me of, like, the heart conversations, you know, that I'm running right now is – I am now hosting and they're free, events, they're free conversations, and they're with people from all around the world. And we have a heart conversation. So I set it up, really clear, and I hold the space, and we do not have a conversation about politics or opinions or judgments or advice giving, none of that, because that's all head stuff. And we come into our heart and we just share from there. And people's experience, like within the first 20 minutes, like if they didn't know anybody on that call, within 20 minutes, they feel connected, they feel loved, they feel heard, and they just love everybody. Mm. So, yeah, the feedback has been fantastic. And I think that really is weekly. So people, places are limited, so they're not recorded and they're not broadcast live anywhere because they're not, you know, spectator events. Right, they are, you know, you got to participate, and so, and numbers are limited because I send out a Zoom link and they book up pretty quickly, because of that. And so it really is a place. I mean, right now what we're experiencing is unprecedented on the planet for all of us to be going through something in common, and it's bringing us together beyond a lot of the thinking process and the borders of the mind, of the mental. And the place to meet really is in the heart. So that's what we're practicing.
That is beautiful. And I love that you're doing these heart conversations. So first of all, everybody, if you're interested in thinking, gosh, yeah, I just want to share from my heart, I want to listen through my heart to somebody else because I know they're sharing from their heart, then message Leanne Babcock, and you can go to her Facebook page, and we're going to put up the links and everything you can follow. But this is something, it's free, it's available. If you've got the internet, you're in, well, space providing. Yep. But and I know what that feels like. First of all, I get to, like right now, I'm having a heart conversation with you. I'm asking honest, real heart questions that are coming from me, from my love from others and myself to you, and trusting that your response, your answers are, yeah, you have to think a little bit about them, but they're truly coming from your heart. And I think you're a beautiful example of how to live your life through that. You've got a couple other things. I want to make sure we get our invitations out to people so they know how to connect with you. Because honestly, they've got to read your book. You have another book coming out. And I can't wait to already read it because I feel like I need the part two movie here now.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, so my second book is called Real and Wild You, Your Daring and Magical Inner Journey. And so that one is an international bestseller, and it is a self-coaching guide. And I took the – how it got birthed was I got so much feedback from OpenMe and the valuable lessons. And so I just took the different lessons from OpenMe and created more conversations and more stories and exercises. And so you can really, you know, coach yourself by using the book. You can also use it as an oracle book. You know, just hold a question in your mind that you want insight on, and then open the book, and that's the chapter to read. So I've got that. And the other thing I have, which actually responds also to what you were talking earlier about, you know, that, you know, when I was holding back saying what I really wanted to do in the mornings, and, you know, and my boyfriend had said, well, when I finally opened up and told him all the stuff that was going on that I was making up in my head, that he wanted me to stay in bed, and so I was doing that, but I didn't want to, and then I was resenting him because I wasn't doing what I wanted to do and blaming him for it. And then he said, well, you know, go and do it, because the more you do what you want to do, the more you're going to love me. So what I've come to realize is that our lack of self-love and self-worth and I'm not good enough, all of that, is actually the key to all self-sabotage. All
say that
of it.
Again. Oh, say that again. That's good.
Yeah. So the lack of self-love inside is the key to all of self-sabotage. Because the parts of yourself that you reject, that you don't love, that you don't want, that you deny, they're wounded, they're upset, and those parts of you will not let you have what you want. Because they're not getting it.
I resonated with that particular one so well. I remember this one time because I was dating a fella, and I had this podcast. I wanted to listen to it. So I think it was Wayne Dyer, actually. And I was like, I really got to listen. You know what I could do? I could just go out into the car and listen to it out in the car. So I remember writing on a little napkin and going, I'm here still. I'm just out in the car listening. And it was such a negative experience. Like, I got berated for leaving and da-da-da that I taught myself. He didn't. I taught myself that you're going to stay in this relationship and you're not going to get to do what you want, even when you think you've covered your bases and left a little note and everything. So my low self-worth there changed the next 10 years of my life, how I operated from. So I love that you said it's the key. Your low self, you know, your self, what you value, how you value yourself is actually the key to where you're sabotaging yourself. And how do we reach, well, this would be great. I think they should reach out to you and to find out, like, you know, join in the heart conversations or be coached by you, whether it's one-on-one or a group, or get your books and do the workbook. Because if we don't have those conversations with our hearts, this will just keep going, as you said about patterns, right? Like, could we really literally live a life that we hate for the rest of our lives if we don't fix this?
Well, that's what you got to ask yourself, really. It's like, you know, because it's work and it's effort.
Yes.
And, you know, like, are you ready? And, you know, but really, really honestly, like, I had to ask myself that, you know, before I came back to Canada was, you know, like, I tried so hard to talk myself into staying in New Zealand because New Zealand's a lovely place. I loved it, right? And I was so comfortable, but I tried to keep talking myself into, oh, Leanne, you're so comfortable and this is so, but I knew I was sugarcoating, you know, because it didn't feel right anymore because I wasn't listening to myself. And so, you know, when we don't listen to ourself, that is self-sabotage right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, you know, and then me with my boyfriend, you know, in bed and me not saying, you know, what I really wanted, you know, and holding that back, you know, in my mind, I already had that I had to separate with him in order to do what I want. You know, for me, that was my old pattern. Right. And, you know, maybe for someone else, it might have been, you know, staying longer and then, you know, living unhappily together. Yeah. And so, but that's all self-sabotage. And when we heal those parts of ourselves. So yes, there are many avenues. I have a transformational program called Woman Beat Your Drum. And that's real kick ass. and that is built on a foundation of, you know, developing self-love. And I have also a wonderful offering coming up, and it's called Love Yourself to Pieces. It's a 6-week program. Love Yourself. And you know how I spell pieces?
Yes, sure.
It's P-E-A-C-E-S.
Oh. Love yourself to pieces.
Yeah. So begin the journey. Like, if you're ready for it, it does take some work. But honestly, when you really look at it, what kind of, there's going to be a payoff. What kind of work do you want? Do you want to do the work to keep covering up, pretending and denying yourself that you're not living the life that you want? Or the work that you want to do, is it that you know, that you're willing to, all right, I'm going to take a step and start making the effort to, you know, to love myself or to heal those wounded ones and to reach out for help, you know, in whatever ways, to a coach, you know, to a book. But you really got to ask yourself, because both of them are work. It's work to keep covering up and lying to yourself.
I love that you highlighted that. Everybody right now, we are going to do work no matter what, but what's the payoff? Do you want the payoff? Are you, as we titled this, are you unwilling to be unhappy? Are you unwilling to let fears control your life? Or, like, yeah, because it's going to be work either way. If it's work to stay in the wrong job, the wrong country, the wrong relationship, but it's work to love yourself. And I would love to share with everybody, you know, it's been over a decade for me. And you know what? I do love myself. And I go and listen to podcasts whenever I want now. And I feel good about it.
Awesome.
And it was worth that work. It was worth the work to recognize who would be a good partner for me, who maybe I like to be alone. Maybe I like to be, you know. So we start to recognize who we are when we give ourselves that space to listen. And sometimes it does take saying it out loud
like to a group, mm-hmm. you know, to sharing it and being witnessed. And can you just share with that on that one? With being witnessed, being heard mm-hmm. when you are expressed, mm-hmm. what kind of liberation have you witnessed from that?
Oh, my goddess. That is magical, because that's what happens in the heart sharing conversations. So people don't need any prerequisite at all. They don't have to have done my work before. They just show up. And because of the way it is set up, no one comments on what anyone else says. No one has an opinion. No one agrees or disagrees. No one's giving anybody advice. So what happens is each person, you know, and I ask questions so that the questions are on the table and each person responds to the question from their life and from their feelings. And what happens is each person feels held. They feel heard and listened to, and no one's tried to solve their problems. And do you know, and some people, oh my gosh, I mean, you know, we are each experiencing, you know, deep stuff. And, you know, some people, you know, it's their time to, for more deep stuff than others. It's all different, right? But I mean, I just then get emails flooding in the next day saying, oh my God, thank you so much. I was experiencing all this trauma and all this darkness, and I just feel so light now. Wow. Now, nobody solved their problem. Nobody gave them any advice, nothing. All we did was listen.
I absolutely love that. And on that beautiful note, I feel like, you know, that's a place where if you guys, you do need it. You need a heart hug. You need to be held. I love that you said that they feel held. That's so funny that you really, I just posted something about free hugs on my timeline. This lady does that, and it just literally moves you. So I'm going to encourage everybody right now, as we close off here, I always, sad time, to reach out to Leanne Babcock. She's the author of Open Me and other books, but we're putting that one out there. I want everybody to read it. And just to reach out and say, yeah, I think I'd like to get in on that heart conversation, or I just want to say hi to you and whatever, because I think, Leanne, you'd be a perfect person for them to say hi and then let you help guide them from there. You can GPS them from there.
I would love that. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I've got my GPS working now. Yeah. My inner one never breaks down.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for sharing this time with me and with everyone. We have just, oh, I already love it. It's so good. Thank you, Leanne.
Oh, Lisa, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, until next week, guys, tune in Monday at 12 p.m. to listen to our next show, Eastern Time, and 11 a.m. live, Facebook Live on Om Times Magazine. All right, guys, have a beautiful week. Go get a heart hug. Okay, bye.
Across Canada, there are many heroes, selfless donors who donate blood to help save lives. National Blood Donor Week is June 8th through 14th. This week and throughout the year, your ongoing support for Canada's Lifeline goes towards ensuring patients in Canada receive life-saving support where and when they need it. Share your story on social media and tag us at Canada's Lifeline to inspire others to donate and become a hero today.
This is one of 80,000 food deliveries to households in need. This is a family facing food insecurity who's now able to eat together. This is Breakfast Club of Canada and Uber in action. This is one of the many drivers and delivery people helping move what matters. Visit uber.com/Canada Impact to find out how you can help too.